This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, from BetQL, it's time for the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM with Michael Jenkins and Chelsea Messenger.
And we are back, top of the hour here on a Thursday morning. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Michael Jenkins. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, talking to Joe Giglio of BetQL Daily about some seismic shifts we've seen in the odds for the NBA draft. And as Jinx just rolls in from, I'm assuming, another trip to the bathroom or maybe to the refrigerator. I'm not sure. Jinx, I feel like there's some kind of a disconnect between the sports betting media and the average everyday bettor, because a lot of times on the show, we talk about value and saying, oh, well, the value's all gone. At minus 175, minus 190, probably stay away from it. But we are people who are betting on sports each and every day. And value for us is a little different than somebody who's just betting on something once a month. So when you look at these odds and you see the seismic shift that has gone from Paolo Banchero going from 13-1 to be the first overall pick all the way down to minus 190 in some spots, is it too late to put a bet on Banchero? Because I will say one thing. We talked about this same discussion when it came to the NFL draft and Trayvon Walker going first overall. I put a bet on him when he was minus 175. And yeah, I don't love laying minus 175, but seeing that huge shift in odds, yeah, I'll put a few dollars on it and hopefully win some money on it. Because at the end of the day, like, it's still a winner and you still get some return on your money. So at what point do you say, oh, the value's gone? Or do you, would you still recommend putting a bet on it?
No, I wouldn't. Not at this point. Now, he may very well be the guy. I think he'll be the guy. There's a reason why these odds have shifted so dramatically, but you can watch a shift and still get value. I think the value was when we were talking about this and he was around plus 350 and he was still trending in
this
direction.
Right, but like, we can't go back in time. So like, the
well, that's what I'm saying.
The show is like, okay, like, congrats to you on getting it at 13-1, but like, I can't go back in time.
No, of course. My point is that that's why I don't think there's any value. I think there was value at one point while these odds were shifting, even if it wasn't the best value. But at some point along the way, once those odds shift too much in the other direction, then the value is gone. So yeah, you can't go back in time. But for me, with as much uncertainty as there can be, and there's always surprises in every draft, I think Banchero will go number one tonight. But I'm not confident enough when you're talking about a draft to lay minus money at this point. I would have laid it earlier at a number of different points along the way, but at least for me now, even though he may go number one, I'm not laying minus money.
Do you get the conversation that I'm trying to have though? Because like, for us, it's a different scenario, but for somebody, you know, who isn't too worried about quote unquote value, like at minus 175, like, this is probably still a bet that a lot of people will make just because they feel like it is now not a guarantee, but like a pretty sure bet. Like, what's the line for you? We talk about it like, what is it, minus 150, where you're willing to lay that juice?
My problem is that it's the draft. That's the problem. So
gotcha.
I understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, minus 175 in the grand scheme of things, especially if you're a casual bettor and you're confident in this pick, it is not a terrible bet. My issue is it's the draft. I would have much more confidence in a game I really like where I said, you know what, I know it's a lot of juice. I'm really confident in this play. I can analyze this. I'm going minus 175. But with the draft, it is more of a guessing game. Because what are you saying? Well, the line has moved really quickly in one direction. We hear rumors, but you really can't handicap a draft too much like you can an actual game. So for me, it's the fact that there's so many unknowns in the draft. That's why I don't like it.
All right, so let's ask a third opinion. Let's bring on the Roman guest line, Joe Giglio. He's the co-host of BetQL Daily. Immediately after us with Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. You can also hear him on WIP in Philadelphia on weekday evening. So, Joe, I feel like you've probably heard this conversation that we're having, but I'll make it simple and say, okay, we've seen these seismic shifts on Paulo Banchero going from 13-1 all the way to minus 190, minus 175 in some spots to go first overall. At what point is the value all gone on Banchero for your average bettor?
Yeah, I think it's a great question and a conversation. And I do think about this when we do our shows because, Chelsea, you're right. There are people out there who do not wager as often. They just want to win tonight. And there's two ways to look at it. Like, value is maximizing your return, but a winner's a winner. And if you think you've got the right side of a game, or obviously this is an information market with the draft, then a winner is a winner. And if you think Banchero's going one and you bet him, you win. Like, you're not losing money. You win because you're going to hit your bet. Here's the issue I have with this, and I think it's a good comparison to the Trayvon Walker thing, and the reason I would not bet Paolo right now to be number one tonight. So with that Trayvon Walker thing, it was the perfect storm of the betting market moved considerably in those weeks leading to the draft, and the best insiders around the NFL all started mocking Trayvon Walker number one as well. So they were hearing the same thing, whether it's Peter King, Albert Breer, Peter Schrager. It was like you had both sides of it saying, yeah, he's going one. So I think your bet at minus 175 for Walker, even if you went up to minus 250, he was the number one pick. It was obvious. This isn't quite as obvious. I mean, we're watching the odd shift, and that's interesting. But I'm not seeing the insiders saying the same thing. Like, I'm not seeing Adrian Wojnarowski saying, expect it to be Paolo Banchero tonight. I'm not seeing, you know, the people that do these NBA mock drafts say the same thing. There's a disconnect here. I think there's uncertainty tonight. But I'm not as sure that Banchero's going one as I was Trayvon Walker's going one, you know, in April.
So, Joe, when you look at Paolo Banchero, is he your favorite player in this draft? He's certainly worthy of going number one. There's no question about that. But you can debate who is the best overall player. Do you think it's Banchero?
I don't, and I like him, and I think he'll be a good player in the NBA. I think it's funny how the NBA kind of has a disconnect between the game and then draft night. So the game is clearly about wings and guards. And then we get to draft night, and we're taking power forwards and centers 1, 2, and 3. And it just doesn't make any sense to me. And I'm not saying these guys can't be good. And obviously there are really good big men in the NBA that compete for MVPs. But look at the finals. We're talking about point guards, shooting guards, and true small forward wings that are running the league right now. And that's how you win a championship. I think Jaden Ivey out of Purdue is going to end up being the best player. He'll probably go number four. But if I had an NBA team and the goal was I have to win a championship over the next 5 to 10 years with this player as my lead player, I'd rather have Jaden Ivey than all these guys. But I'll acknowledge he'll probably go four tonight.
All right, so I am trying to find a way to handicap this NBA draft as somebody who is not, you know, super in tuned as an NBA draft scout. Like, I don't have a ton of information. So how do you go about picking some of your bets for the NBA draft? Like, what's the process for you? Like, do you look at the insiders? Do you try to pay attention to some of the rumors? Like, where do you start?
Yeah, I think both combined. And when you start seeing the two things line up, like I mentioned, it lined up with Trayvon Walker. That started to become pretty obvious. I think a couple that are lining up now are the idea of, you know, Benedict Mathurin. His prop was at 6.5. Everyone seems to love him now, and you keep hearing his name maybe 5 or 6, so maybe he's an under. And then, you know, the information that does leak out, and there hasn't been as much, I think it's interesting watching the top and how all these rumors are out there. I mean, the one thing that I keep coming back to is what's going on? Like, why did we go from Jabari Smith or Chet Holmgren to now Paolo Banchero? And my theory is, and Ryan Russillo of The Ringer threw out an idea that maybe Chet Holmgren has told the Magic he doesn't want to go there, right? He wants to go to Oklahoma City. So if we kind of play off of that, I think the idea of Chet Holmgren number two, whatever those odds are, probably minus, you know, whatever you have to lay, Holmgren two to Oklahoma City feels like it makes the most sense here. And then you kind of play off of that, and you could have Jabari one, you could have Paolo three, and you kind of try to figure out, kind of line it up one by one. But I would look at the things that keep being said by almost everybody and kind of try to put the puzzle pieces around those.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
We're talking with our good friend Joe Giglio. You can see him and hear him after our show each and every day on BetQL Daily. Joe, when you look at Chet Holmgren, and I ask everyone this because there are a lot of different opinions about what sort of pro he will be. He's 7'1". He's a great defender. He's a very crafty scorer, but he's also like 120 pounds. Like, he's so tiny. 195, I think, officially. He's got to put on some weight. Do you think he's going to be an effective NBA player?
I think he can be, but I'd be worried. You know, there's stories out there. They didn't want to provide his medicals to every team, which is just, it's a troublesome thing. When you have a player that is a unique player that wouldn't provide medicals to some teams, that would scare me. I think his path, you know, guys in recent memory, is kind of a Kristaps Porzingis type of player. You know, Porzingis was pretty good before he had all the injuries to his knees, and now he's not quite that good anymore. But yeah, he had a nice run there when he came out of the draft. Like, wow, this guy could play. He's like a unicorn kind of player. So I think there's a path for Chet Holmgren, but I also worry, like, who's he guarding in the NBA? Is he quick enough to guard fours? Does he have to bang with five? As I know there's not as many bigs like Jokic and Embiid anymore that really could push him around, but there's at least a couple. I wonder, can he do that? So I worry about him on the defensive end in the NBA, who he guards on the floor.
All right, so let's talk about the Sixers. I do believe that they have a first-round pick. Obviously, it's not one of the top picks, but it's still a way for the Sixers to get better, whether they trade that pick, whether they pick whatever pick they have. What do you expect from the Sixers in this draft?
Yeah, I think they'll trade the pick tonight because just think about where they are in their trajectory. They're kind of in win-now mode, and you know, incorporating a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old into the mix probably doesn't help them. Now, if there is a slightly older player who's more, you know, NBA ready now, perhaps, but that's tough to find. And do you want to take a lower ceiling guy just to help you get out of the second round right now? Probably not. So I think they're poised to trade this pick tonight and try to find, maybe attach that to a veteran. You know, Danny Green has an expiring contract. Matisse Thybul is a player. There's a lot of rumors that they might be ready to move on from, and maybe another team sees some upside with his excellent defense if they can fix his shot. So I think the Sixers end up trading that pick tonight to try to help them facilitate moving a veteran or bringing someone back that, you know, maybe is ready to play in the playoffs right now.
We're chatting with Joe Giglio, co-host of BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. You can also hear him on WIP in Philadelphia weekday evenings. Joe, what are the Sixers going to do with James Harden?
Well, probably make a mistake if I had to guess, because Daryl Morey loves this guy. I think it's beyond, you know, just a basketball relationship between a player and a GM. Like, I think, you know, they're close. I mean, you watch that video that when Harden got off the private plane when he got traded to Philadelphia, it was a hug. It was like a long-lost family member. And they had a press conference when they announced him, and there were balloons and confetti. There's something obviously special between those two. They've had a lot of success together. So he's going to be back. I mean, there's no question. He has a player option for 1 year, $47 million, which is crazy, but that's his right, and it's his contract. So my guess is he's going to exercise that, and then they'll add an extension on to kind of smooth the money out. And I don't hate that idea in theory, because it should help the team with less money per year for James Harden. The question is how many years, and does that become an albatross on the back end? You know, a couple of years ago, Chris Paul had a similar deal. I think it was, you know, like a $44 million player option. And the Suns ended up smoothing that out for 4 years, $120 million, so 30 a year. I could see the Sixers doing something similar with James Harden, but I would be quite worried that by year three and four of that deal, you know, he either can't get on the court or he's pretty poor when he does.
Joe, what's on the betting card today? Whether it's NBA draft, whether it's baseball, are there any plays you like?
Yeah, I'm going to be all over the NBA draft. I will probably at some point tonight try to you know, put just a sprinkle a little bit on guessing the top five in order. I always think that's fun because, you know, it's kind of like a game of dominoes or a puzzle. Like, if you get the first couple, if you feel like you have three of the five, you probably could get all five. Now, I would not put a lot on this because it's obviously a shot in the dark and the whole thing could go off by the first pick, but I'll probably be on something like that. Maybe, you know, let's say Jabari Smith, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, and you know, Keegan Murray, something like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll finalize it later after seeing the latest information. But I'll probably be on one of those. And then Johnny Davis is an interesting prospect out of Wisconsin that I continue to see mocked anywhere between, let's say, 9 and like 13 or 14. I just think the connection there at 10 to the Wizards makes a lot of sense, especially with uncertainty around Bradley Beal in his future. So I will look at that Johnny Davis draft prop, and I'll correlate it to the Wizards and where they pick around number 10. So those will be the ones that I'm probably most excited for today.
And if you don't care about the NBA draft and you don't have a team picking in the first round, betting on the draft is a great way to make it a lot more interesting. Great insight as always from Joe Giglio. He's the co-host of BetQL Daily. Right after us with Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. Find him on Twitter, Joe Giglio Sports. Joe, thanks for waking up with us.
You got it, guys.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.